Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we are live. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm one of your co-hosts, Blake Ruffino. Alongside me is my counterpart and co-host, Joe DeLeon. Happy Easter, good friend. I know it was a good time to get away here for a day. You know, we got away for a day, so I guess it's really not our vacation time. But happy Easter to you. I'm glad that it's here. And how are things going on a Monday morning?
Fantastic. I'm excited for the national championship tonight in college basketball. I got to be honest with you, I don't know who to pick on FanDuel. Right now, Michigan's a 7.5-point favorite. I don't know how closely you watch the Final Four games, but
I'm afraid
to bet against Dan Hurley. I am afraid to go against Dan Hurley.
You should be afraid to bet against Dan Hurley, and here's another truth. Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
I thought Arizona was winning it all.
I think everyone did.
I think I really thought – and then here's another thing. Me and Jason Campbell over the Believe Podcast Network, I went on with Jason. I told people to watch out for UCLA. Like, South Carolina this. I put all of my Easter basket money on UCLA yesterday in the women's finals. And boy, was I happy when they started dominating.
Oh, yeah.
But I got to be completely honest with you. Michigan is dominating everybody. But to your point, Dan Hurley, do you bet against that psychopath? I'm kind of scared to
So they're both psychopaths, by the way. I think that's what it needs to be.
And I agree with your tweet. Yeah. You have a sitting head coach knowing that he is going to be in the finals and sitting courtside scouting UConn before the game. The arrogance, yet the confidence that shows, which he could just be saying, hey, man, I need to be prepared for if we do win. So that whole thing there, too, is just like, oh, my God.
I don't think we'll ever see anyone do something like that again, nor do I think that there's ever been anything equivalent to that happening before. I mean, even if the game wasn't in the same arena, I don't think you'll ever see obviously you couldn't play a college football game on a field immediately after another game happened there, but you would never see a college football coach watching a TV for an upcoming opponent.
Well, can I ask a question? This is what Michigan fans were saying, by the way. What's the difference of him sitting courtside looking at the game versus what Connor Stallions did? Now, obviously, there's a massive issue with that.
Oh, wait, hold on. Does someone actually think that? Like,
yes, you were on social media, Michigan fans were like, well, what's the difference with Connor Stallions? Yeah, Connor Stallions was on the sidelines of a football game.
Well, I mean, I think that those things are so completely different.
Completely different. Now, I say a lot of people were talking about it. I just retweeted something and like four people responded to it. So I don't know if that's a lot of people. But it definitely caught my eye that they were arguing that point. But you do have a national title game, Michigan versus UConn. And so we'll see how that goes. But nevertheless, we shall see. All right, we got a lot that we need to get into here today, Joe.
Yep.
I see a lot of LSU baseball people are in here. By the way, I don't know if you saw that series yesterday. My blood pressure should have not been that high on Easter Sunday eating crawfish, but my God, you want to talk about madness. That was madness last night, but thank you all for being here. But we got a lot that we need to get into today as President Trump signed an executive order. We have thoughts on that. No more SEC Big Ten, ACC Big 12 championship games. Joe, that's being brought up. We'll talk about that here as well today. And Chandler Morris is denied his 7th year of eligibility. Thank God. With all of that being said, do us a favor. Hit the like and share. Share to all those groups if you're on Facebook and to all those social media pages. If you're watching us, listening to us on YouTube, like, subscribe, notification bell, wherever you listen to podcasts. Rate, review, and subscribe. Every Ruffino and Joe show is brought to you by our good friends over at FanDuel. Download the FD Sportsbook app. Today, you got the men's Final Four finale tonight, so you can place your bets on that. As Joe mentioned, he's scared to place a bet against Dan Hurley. I'm kind of scared to place a bet on either one of these teams. But regardless, if you feel so inclined, you can do that with our good friends over at FanDuel. Go over to FanDuel.com/RG for more details. And as we tell you every single night, set your preferences there as well. All right, Joe, we got a lot that we need to get into. So we've kind of already talked about this after the roundtable, but President Trump has now signed an executive order. And I'm just going to roll through some of the things that President Trump outlined in this executive order to try to help college athletics. These are in no specific order here. The NCAA needs to clarify and update their rules by August the 1st. Federal agencies, I thought this was a big one that got glossed over.
Yeah.
Federal agencies can now evaluate schools and universities for violating the use of any of these rules and have a suspension of grants and federal contracts to the universities. You have 5 years to play five. Pro athletes cannot return. The only reason you would not get, you would have longer than 5 years is if you went to the military and or on missions. You do have a 1 year, 5 year transfer window. We need to talk about that one as well. Second year, or you can have a second transfer if you graduate with a 4 year degree. And then they're going to be investigating. I don't know this, me and you, because I have a little bit of background in this. President Trump also said that the federal government can investigate fraud NIL schemes and pay for play. I'm interested to who would investigate that mainly, but that's a conversation that you and I can have here today. But then if federal funds are used, the attorney general, there is no attorney general at the current moment, so the attorney general's office can also investigate said things. So, Joe, I kind of gave an outline. There's other things that are in there, but these are the big pressing ones. President Trump signed an executive order. I think people need to understand that's not a law. He also urged Congress to get involved and to make these changes in a bipartisan position here. Joe, when all of this has come out and President Trump has signed an executive order, what have been your thoughts?
Yeah, well, so the one thing that you just brought up there is the most important opening talking point. This doesn't rewrite NCAA bylaws. This does not require all these changes to happen. This is, quite honestly, just an aggressive suggestion of things that need to change in the near future. Which it, I, you know, I tweeted this out the minute that this became news, and all I said was, "Here we go." And I think that there's a lot of people that can easily kind of run wild with what that means. It, quite simply, it's a domino. It's the first domino for either us getting actual changes or for lawsuits coming up, and many of these changes meaning completely nothing. This isn't the first time he's signed an executive order that hasn't gone anywhere in relation to college athletics. That being said, though, I think that there's one key problem I have with this. There are multiple aspects of this that I was surprised that I really liked. The protection for women's in Olympic sports, I think, is the right thing. I think that an agent registry is the one thing that I have clamored for constantly, that there are a lot of bad actors out there that need to be able to be certified, just like with the NFLPA, all these professional leagues. There are dudes that should not have the ability to be influencing NIL deals and contracts with schools. That stuff needs to be a lot more strictly monitored. Yeah. I also think that there does need to be some sort of medical care requirements. I think that that was a really
He also put that in there. Yes.
Yes.
I didn't touch on that. Yep.
The last bit that I saw a lot of people pushing back on, and I disagree with the pushback, is the adjustments to the transfer rules, which allows for a one-time immediate play, the immediate ability to play after transferring. And then after that, you have to sit out for a period of time. You also are able to transfer again if you graduate after getting your four-year degree. I think that all those things are incredibly important in the current state of college athletics, Blake, because of the fact that it's impossible to actually yet effectively get your education when you're constantly transferring. This isn't to protect a rule like this, the guys that are going to go on to the NFL. This is to protect the guys that have turned out to be these journeyman starters.
DJ Finley.
That are getting these contracts, they're getting paid to just keep moving from school to school. The quick paychecks that you're getting there are not good for your long-term future. What's good for your long-term future is building connections with people that you're playing sports with, other students that you're at universities with, and then actually completing your degree. So I think that reestablishing the importance of that, Blake, is ultimately super important. The one thing that I've got a problem with is the tighter restrictions on NIL deals and the policing of pay for play. I think that you cannot, you just can't, it's too ambiguous. You can't try to police this. And I think that it is going to be a grave mistake that is only going to create bigger issues attempting to police it.
All right. So I agree with a lot of what you just said. I'm going to kind of break that down in order.
Yes.
Yeah. What I agree with instantly, I agree with you on the women's athletics and Olympic sports. They have to do that through Title IX. That's not a debate that you and I need to have. We both agree on that. The medical care, we both agree on that as well. I think that those are just, Joe, I don't even know how to put it. I don't want to say we're conceding because that's a wrong word, but those are kind of not, those are kind of things that we just like, okay, we all are in agreement with. We all understand it. We're all there. Let me attack your transfer conversation very quickly. I don't mind it. I don't mind the 5 years to play five, and I don't mind that if you transfer once, that the only time you could transfer again is being a grad transfer. However, they got to add one level into that. They have to add that if coaches leave, that they can also leave. Okay.
I would imagine that would, because that's already a current, I would imagine that would stay.
He didn't put it in there. So when you didn't put it in there, you're getting, Joe, it's okay. Got to be in there. I mean, if you don't have the rule, okay,
that's
like,
a good point.
But because,
but you, that doesn't mean that the NCAA theoretically couldn't put that in.
It doesn't, but he's also, if you remember in the very beginning part of it, he said to change their rules and guidelines by August the 1st. So what he is saying is that they need to change it to this executive order. So, regardless, they need to keep it in there that if a coach, a head coach, not a position coach, if a head coach leaves, that you also have the ability to transfer without the without any ramifications of that happening. That has got to be added. However, this is what's going on in my mind. Okay. So I'm going to read something for you just so we're all on the same page to give context. This is, would you agree that this is going to get sued? This executive order is going to get sued. Okay. Unless it's a very, very, very rare circumstance, less than 1% of this does not happen when a executive order is signed. So I'm just going to concede the premise that we all understand what's going to happen here. I think that they've all gotten in a room and want this to be sued, because when this gets sued, this goes to a U.S. district court. Wherever it's being sued. So let's just say it's sued in the state of New Jersey or in the state of Louisiana. And it gets sued. It goes to a U.S. district court. If a U.S. district court deems that it should be a local thing, then it will go there. But this is obviously not one of those cases where that's going to happen. If they deem, or if a U.S. court deems that this situation, regardless of the outlines, is not going to be settled in the right way, that goes to a U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals that ultimately goes to the Supreme Court. I think we have a little bit of light here, because if this were to get to the Supreme Court, we have guidelines. And if the Supreme Court rules like they did on the House, or on not the House case, the Ed O'Bannon case, if they do in some certain other things like Title IX, then Joe, we would have federal guidelines. I really don't know if President Trump believes that all of this is going to go through. What I believe that he is thinking and the people around him are thinking is that this is going to get sued and this ultimately gets to the Supreme Court. So we're a long way away from there. But if this were to be enacted right now, the transfer rule has got to change that if coach leaves, that they got to be able to leave too. They're aggressively going after third-party collectives. Let me ask this question. And they call it pay for play. Okay. Well, you're already a pay for play scheme. That's already what this is. You talked about the policing part of it. They also talked about taking away federal funding if they don't adhere to some of these things. Okay. How? How? What deems you thinking that they don't do it the right way? How? So if a collective is a third party, so if Ruffino and Joe show using a random athlete, wanted to go to Julian Sain or Sam Levitt or whatever, we're still a third party just like a collective is. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to determine what a collective truly is. Now, they're going to try to attack it and police it, which I don't really mind the collective part of this. I don't really mind that you're going after collectives because I do think it's pay for play in a lot of situations. So I don't really mind trying to get clarity on collectives. But, Joe, we've already had this go to a federal court. Remember the College Sports Commission? Remember when collectives got attacked and a federal judge said, no, you got to allow this to happen because it's a third party? So if I pay you money and I deem a contract and I don't make you uphold those things in that contract, it's not for the federal government to come down and be able to police it and say, well, you got to do what's inside the contract. I'm allowing it to happen. You can't tell me what in a contract what I am allowed and not to allow to happen. So I am very interested to see, to your massive point here, how do you police something that's already gone through the federal court system to make a determination? What I hope happens is that this gets sued, it goes to U.S. District Court, and ultimately gets to Supreme Court so that we have finality in all of this on how it should be done.
That's the you're focusing on the key part that I have a problem with this. And this is so I think that when you have an executive order like this, or just in general, you're trying to put out a framework for changes to come. You can't just aggressively say, we're going to make all these fast changes and they're going to go the way that I want to go. I think that you see a lot of the aspects
which
of this.
Which is what Trump does every single time he interjects himself with, and not right. To be, but that's just how he is.
No, I mean, that's kind of how the way that he was talking, I legitimately thought that this was going to be irrational and ridiculous. And when I was reading it, I'm reading through it and like the things with the Olympic sports and women's sports and the agent registry, and most importantly, the medical care, you have to have concessions in order for the athletes who are on the other side of this to look at it and to agree that, like, hey, this might be taking away some of the things that we want, but it's ultimately setting us up for a safer and better future in college sports. So I think a lot of these parts with it are good, but the NIL part and focusing super heavily on the NIL part, I think is where this whole thing gets super derailed. And I think that it's constantly where everything gets derailed. I also think, and I'm just going to allude to this, and we don't need to dig deeper on it, because we've talked about it a couple of times. I think that this could have been an easy stepping stone for establishing a collective bargaining agreement. I know that we're never going to get one of those, but I felt like if you really want this whole atmosphere, this whole environment to be better, having some sort of like union in which they can advocate for themselves is going to make this whole process a lot easier, but we're never going to get that. The whole point of this is to make it anti-employment and for them not to be employees. But Blake, to the main point that we're bringing up here with NIL, it's just too hard. It's too ambiguous to effectively interpret what is considered to be an inappropriate amount of money to give to a player. If money that is given to a player is done because you want it for marketing purposes, if you want it to be an inducement for a player to come play at a specific university. I just think that we need to stop pretending like that's possible, because what is stopping a business from saying, I want to give this kid an exorbitant amount of money because I really like the way that he plays and we want him to be the face of our brand. If that number is ridiculously high and it's, you know, $5 million higher than the next person, just throwing out a number there, how are you effectively going to be able to say, that's not allowed? That is violating free trade, a free market. I think that that is where this whole thing is going to get completely effed up, is trying to put restrictions on that.
Well, and I think that's why, to your point, I think that's why he put it in there. I think it's exactly why he put it in there, because he knew it would get sued. And I think when he knew it would get sued, he knew it would go to a U.S. district court. He knew it would go to a court of appeals, and he ultimately knew it would go to a Supreme Court.
Do you think that this is an effort for this to?
I think that they're putting out. I think they're playing multi-level chess. Okay, I think that they put some egregious things in here to be shot down so that it's like an offer sheet, right? Like if you're in business and this company comes to you and says, hey, what is it going to take for you to come and work for me? And I say $1 million. And they're like, okay, come on now. We'll give you $500,000. Well, shit, in my mind, I would have taken $250,000.
But like, here's the only thing with that. Who's shooting it down though? That's where like there's no collective bargaining. There's no union.
Yeah, but they know it's going to get sued. They know that these agents, they know that these players are going to sue this. Joe, within 2 weeks, this is going to get sued. And I'm giving a very gracious point on the 2 weeks. When you sue an executive order, again, when this is a federal guideline, this is going to go to a U.S. district court. I mean, this is exactly how the House settlement case played out. I mean, not with an executive order, but this is how it mostly played out here. So when you talk about what I think that they're playing 4D chess and they're trying to get guidelines. And because you know why I think that? Because what has Greg Sankey constantly stated? He says, we need Congress to do it. And then he said at the roundtable, and I quote, we have asked Congress time and time again to make changes to college athletics and put a rubber stamp on all of this so that we know that we can move forward. Joe, I think they know that this is passed and nobody's saying that it's passed and they want a Supreme Court ruling. They might not get what they want, though. See, here's the other side of that. I think all of these powers that be don't understand what they're really asking for, because do you remember the Ed O'Bannon case? Joe, it went 9-0. Do you want to know how many times something went 9-0 in the Supreme Court? It's not many. All of them agreed. Democrats and Republicans agreed on the NIL rule. What do you think is going to happen now? So you could get an amendment that states that free market trade, to your point, is free market trade, and there's nothing that you can do about it. I mean, Joe, with all due respect, I know this is a different case, but it's like the Kawhi Leonard thing in some aspects. Kawhi Leonard was getting paid under the table, and you had a collective bargaining agreement. So there comes deals and situations. Guess what the court ruled, by the way? Guess what they ruled?
What?
The First Amendment of the Kawhi Leonard thing is, it's a third party free market. So again, we're looking at this in the same light. I'm just suggesting that I think politics moves in a certain way. And the way that they've set this up politically makes me think that they understand that a lot of this is going to get shot down. They conceded the big points, Olympic. And I say conceding, again, it's a horrible word for me to use. But women's athletics, Olympic athletics. But I do think that there are some good things that are in there. I don't know what the basis of the NIL rule will be here, because until this gets congressional approval, until this goes to the Supreme Court, nothing's going to change. This is not a law. I want to make people aware of this. This is not a law. Teams and universities do not have to abide by this. And let me ask you this question. Do you really think that the Republicans, Trump, is going to take away federal funding to Michigan, to Georgia, to Texas, to all of these teams? He's not going to. It's an empty threat.
Yeah. I think the last part with this is that, to what you just pointed out here, that this is, and reiterating.
Well, I got one more question I need to ask.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm just to state, though, this is the first domino. I don't think that we're, just like with the House case and with those negotiations and the processes of that going through, it was a multi-layered process. There were multiple steps that went through in order for the final product to be put together. So this is just the beginning. We're not even close to whatever the final result is going to be.
No, we're not close. But again, this is, they don't, do you, I'm asking you, do you really believe that the president or the attorney general is going to start trying to investigate and take money from universities if they don't abide by this? Because I have a hard time believing that they will actually do that. They're in the midterms, by the way. So if you start doing this now, and by the way, just throwing this out there, okay, You do realize that when President Trump is gone, and if this is not settled, that whoever the next president can have the power to do this. So it's not as if, and what happened, let me ask you this question too. Say we don't have a resolution. Okay. Say that we're still in court or we don't have a resolution. What if another president comes in and deems something different or gets away of the executive?
Totally plausible.
Plausible. So we need this to get sued. We needed to get sued quickly to get through the federal government. I got one more question for you.
Yes.
Yep. If you will entertain me. This transfer rule, this 5 years to play five, your thoughts on that part? Because a lot of people also disagreed with that.
I think that it is the simplest way to establish that we don't want guys that are in their mid-20s that are playing college athletics. I think at a certain point, it's disappointing that certain guys suffer significant injuries and they can't get onto the field. But at the same time, if you're doing college athletics right, you're collecting NIL money, you are getting your education, and then you just need to move on with your life. That's the thing that I've always been a little perplexed by with these medical red shirts and giving a million of them out. And then you have these extreme circumstances like the Miami tight end from a couple of years ago with the Montana linebacker who was at USC previously, who's going on to his ninth year because he's technically only played three seasons on the field. It just gets to a certain point where it's egregious. I think that the main problem that we've endured is that we've gotten so far away from what college athletics is supposed to be. And it has nothing to do with guys making money and guys transferring and whatnot. It has nothing to do with all that. That, I think, has made the sport better. I think it's made it a better environment for young athletes. But the thing is that when we start turning into just purely professional, you could stay in college as long as you want. You could keep attempting to play. It's taking away from what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be amateur competition with guys that are recently removed from high school. If you are good enough to continue to keep playing, move on to the UFL, move on to the NFL. Go and try and join one of those leagues and make one of those rosters. And if you're not good enough there, then your career is over. You are not obligated to be given an opportunity to try and keep competing. It is taking away chances for young guys that are 18, 19 years old from getting onto the field.
I think you use a massive word there. You know what it is?
What?
Obligated. Obligated. Because here's the real truth. Let's just cut through the bullshit. Okay? Here's the real truth. We are giving majority of these players an enormous amount of money. An enormous amount. Now, some of them not an enormous amount, but your value dictates your worth. Okay. So we are giving you all of this. It's time. You have to have responsibilities. Right now, they don't have responsibilities. Right now, a college athlete, the only thing that they have to do is sue. Now, some of them, we will talk about Chandler Morris in a minute, are losing. For once, they're finally losing. And I think that it is because of the fact that people are coming down from the top down saying that this has got to stop. Again, Chandler Morris. But Joe, if I'm giving you $1 million, it's not my responsibility for you to file your taxes. It's not my responsibility for I have to put guardrails in place for you when we're giving you all this money that you now get another thing and another thing. What the players are not realizing is that in real business, there comes compromise. Like, this is stupid. What if I didn't like you wearing a green shirt? And you're like, and it's such a big deal. There are things that you and I have to compromise on. There are things in business that everybody has to compromise on. The players right now are not trying to compromise, and it's hurting this. If we're just being blunt.
Well, this is why we need a collective bargaining agreement because there's no way to negotiate.
There's no way to negotiate it. So again, what I would say on the transfer portal rule or the transfer rule, I think there needs to be clear and blatant medical reasons if you get past 5 years. Clear and blatant. Like you got hurt on the field or you have a very bad illness. Okay. I think those amendments can happen. My fear on the transfer rule is is that the NCAA seeks power and just continues to deny everybody when some people deserve to come back. You get what I'm saying? Like, for example, you were really big on the Heinicke thing. There's no rule or an amendment to it. The only amendment is for military and missions. What about medical? They left out the third in. You got military, you got missions, you need medical. So there's things that they're going to have to figure out in all this. I don't hate the order. I think there's a lot of really good pieces in it. But I think I think to your point, this is just the beginning part of it. We're in Batman Begins. We're not in Dark Knight Rises. Yeah, we're not there. All right, let's move forward here. So Greg Byrne, the Alabama AD, Joe, came out with a statement on Friday, speaking of college football here, that he believes with the expansion of college football's playoff, potentially, that championship games like the SEC championship game, Big Ten championship game.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
Just necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
ACC Big 12 would be no more. There was another executive order that got signed. I don't know if you saw this. That went through that the Army-Navy game is to stay place. So this is also that's been brought up that if you expand it, okay, well, what do we do? Joe, in reference to the conversation of championship games going away, I think it's idiotic, personally, to get rid of them. However, your thoughts on the situation that comes with potentially expanding and getting rid of them?
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about this the past 2 weeks with Byrne talking about it, Kirby chiming in on it. First of all, someone as important for the landscape of college athletics as Greg Byrne talking on it, the Alabama athletic director, that means something. That absolutely means something. This is not a just random pundit that's chiming in, a former player, a former coach, an active coach.
Team, by the way, in football has been there a lot of last decades
and has won it a ton. It's not like we're hearing from good old Eli Drinkwitz, who no one would give a shit if he chimed in on this, because they're not touching the SEC championship game anytime soon. Like, I partially agree with the notion that you just brought up, that it's kind of dumb to kill off the conference championship games because of what it has meant for the recent history of the sport. They have not existed for the entirety of college athletics. It usually has just been given to the top team at the top of the standings. But for the current version of the sport in the last 25 years, for every single conference, it has been impactful. However, we are at a point where with 12 teams, and if we expand to 16, we can't keep the conference championship games. We just can't. There is zero value with at least the 12-team version for these games to be played. You had in the last 12-team playoffs, you've had one total team that has won their conference that has gone on to the Final Four. One. And that was Indiana this year. You have not had teams that have won their conferences, gotten these byes, and moved on that have made it far in the college football playoff. It very clearly is showing that there's no value in playing an extra football game.
Well, you could also say in the four team, there have been a lot of teams that didn't win their conference that got in that also won two.
Yes, that further paints the picture. And this is college basketball, but it's not the same thing. College basketball, we have two teams just this year alone squaring off that did not win their conferences. Mm-hmm. I think that it is a great event that once was key for the history of the sport. But, Blake, we're approaching a period where it's a detriment for teams that have hopes of winning a national championship. And at the end of the day, and I think Greg Byrne is clearly painting this picture, is that it is more important to win a national title than it is to win your conference. And it should be. I mean, shit, Duke won the freaking ACC. That doesn't mean a damn thing. Who cares? I think that it is completely diminished in its value. And we're at a point where I do agree with Byrne. The ship has sailed. It's run its course. It doesn't have the same weight.
I'm going to disagree.
Okay. I'm shocked.
Let me tell you why I disagree. Okay. I disagree based off of him saying the expansion is the reason that we have to cancel. Okay. The reason that I say that is, let me tell you the dates of the college football playoff this year, because he would go on in the article talking about that we don't have enough time. Well, explain to me why you need 11 days in between games. Explain to me why you need 3 weeks in between games. Explain to me why you need 12 days in between games. So I disagree with his premise that if you expand to 16 teams, that you can't have a conference championship game. Well, that's simply just not true, because you're talking about the time frame. Joe, this upcoming year, we will have a national title game on January the 19th. The semifinals is being played on January the 8th. Let me go a little bit further. The first round of the playoffs is December the 19th. You don't play your quarterfinal games until New Year's. So don't come at me and telling me that we don't have the time when you do have the time. You don't need 2 weeks. You know how I know? Knock, knock, knock. Here comes the NFL. So I disagree with the premise of that we don't have the time to do it. That's a lie and a joke. You know how I know it's a lie and a joke? Because I've seen it play out in football before. It's called the NFL. If you want to give teams 2 weeks before a national title game, by all means, do it. By all means. But why do you need an addition? Like, Joe, we don't have football for a whole month. We have a quarterfinal. We have the first round. And Joe, the time elapsed in between all of that is a month. So I think two things can be true at once. I don't disagree with your premise that the championship game necessarily determines who is going to win it all. I don't really think that. I mean, because I even look in the NFL, like, they still do it, but they have a lot more games. Teams that don't win the ACC or ACC, the AFC South isn't winning. The NFC South isn't winning. Some of those teams, I mean, that's just been what has happened in an expanded 32 team playoff. That we've always have seen that. However, I completely disagree with the premise that you were saying we can't do this because of time constraints. That's bullshit now. Don't tell me about time constraints when I have a month in between games, 2 weeks here, 2 weeks here, 2 weeks here, 3 weeks there. That's not how that should work. You can, because you do it during the regular season, you can go, and the ACC's already doing, oh, well, we have to go to the West Coast, then we have to go to the East Coast. The ACC's been doing it for 2 years now. So there's a part of me that says, Joe, I understand what he's saying. I understand what he's trying to say with the conference championship games. Would he be saying that if Nick Saban were still there and they were winning them? Because it would be bullshit, and you know it would be bullshit, because he knew the money that it would bring if you won SEC championship games. So you started off by saying that, okay, well, Byrne has the weight because he's been there. You're right, he does. He also wouldn't do that shit if Nick Saban was still on them sidelines. And he also can't come at me and tell me that there's not enough time when I have a month in between games, 2 weeks, 2 weeks, and 3 weeks. That's bullshit.
I agree with what you just brought up there. We're agreeing way too much today, which is frightening.
I know. The world's coming to an end.
The
world's coming to an end. You can't convince me otherwise.
I think that the problem with this point that Burr made, and also this was Kirby's quote, where we are right now with 12 teams, I don't necessarily agree that it needs to quit being played. But if it gets to 16 or 24, then we've got to move the end of the season up and we've got to get everything done by the second week of January, then I'd say it probably has to go. That exactly is correct. That presenting,
but we're not getting done in the second week of January anyway.
Yeah. Right. The timing, bringing up as a timing discussion is wrong. It's flawed. It's a flawed premise. I think that the better thing and what's being avoided here is that the value of the game is weakened. And it's honestly even further than that. It's a deterrent. It holds you back. I think that the one part with this as well that you talked about with the timing of how these schedules ultimately work is that you have the NFL playing every single week. And I think it's a bit of a fallacy that we've created that you're playing football. It's a physical sport. You need to be off the field for extended periods of time in order to recover. I don't mind that games take 10 days and giving young guys 10 days. But the biggest thing that has never made sense to me is that we have this gigantic gap in between the end of the season and the first round of the college football playoff.
You know,
and
where the
teams that pull, they're doing it so that they can effectively time up when the games are.
They don't want to go head to head versus the NFL. So this is the problem, is because the NFL goes on Saturdays and they don't want to go head to head with them.
This is the, I have stated this so many times, and there was a precursor for it possibly happening when we talked about this a couple months ago with Roger Goodell chiming in and basically saying, nobody's reached out to me, but I'd be more than happy to help. There needs to be collaboration, and there should be collaboration. The more professional that college football gets, the more that it needs to be interconnected with the NFL. I think that a lot of problems can be adjusted here with communication and working with the NFL to make the whole thing a lot more simplified. But I don't think we're ever going to get there because there is no singular voice in college athletics.
Well, here's a great idea. You ready? Guess who just signed over the NFL's rights in media? The NFL. Want to know to who? ESPN. Joe, who has the college football playoff? Who has it? It's ESPN.
It's ESPN, yeah.
How about this? College football playoff, NFL, ESPN, come together, fix the dates. So you keep, look. All right, this is the one time I'm going to go after Kirby. This is really the only times I go after Kirby because I think he's an exceptional coach. Remember what happened the last time you talked to Kirby about something like this and you put your foot down in the spring and then the schedule got messed up? I don't think you need to go back to Kirby again. Just my opinion. Now, we were in a conversation with Lane Kiffin last week and he said, look, I agreed with him because I was the only one saying that this was a problem. But you can't do this. You can't do it. You got to fix the calendar as a whole before you start changing calendars in the season. Why don't we start fixing the calendar as an adjustment? So do I disagree with Byrne in reference to the championship games as a whole? No, I don't necessarily disagree with you or him on that. The way that you attacked it for me is BS. And I am not going to allow you to continue to talk to me about time when, by the way, in the NFL this year, Joe, we literally saw teams go from the East Coast to the West Coast in the playoff game within 6 days. We constantly see this. So I really think that the way that they're trying to attack it, if they would have came at it from your vantage point and they would have said, does it really matter? I still want to know who wins the conference. I mean, we wouldn't have gotten Indiana and Ohio State. We wouldn't have gotten it. So if we wouldn't have gotten it, would we have known where to put Indiana and Ohio State? Who's our champion? And that's a whole nother thing. With all of these teams inside one conference, who's the champion? Who is it? Can you tell me? Because the last time that I checked, I remember through the years 2000 to 2020, that there were teams that would walk off in the SEC, LSU, that had no business winning an SEC championship and won that thing. The guy's name was Nick Saban, by the way. Let me give you another just fallacy here. Remember Nick Saban's last year? Remember it? Remember when he beat Georgia? Nobody thought that they were going to walk off in there and beat Georgia. You got to keep the game. Who's the champion of your league? I think it's kind of a joke, to be real with you. Now that I'm talking through it, I don't like it. If you're going to make me, if you're going to make the national championship game in the third week of January anyway, why even in the 16-team playoff am I having to do that? Joe, the top four teams aren't playing the first two round or first round anyway. Like, what are we doing? So, I mean, I'm sorry, man. I think I disagree with the timing, and I also disagree with, well, then who's the champion? You're going to base it off of a computer or decision?
I just don't think it matters. I think that winning a national championship
matters. Well, here's another one. James Madison, ask Clemson if it matters 2 years ago.
I don't even know why we need to declare a regular, like, does it,
because
being a regular season champion shouldn't weigh anything. Like,
no, well, because Clemson would have gone in or wouldn't have gone in 2 years ago when they beat SMU. We knew SMU was fraudulent because of it. Let's just call a spade a spade. We knew they were fraudulent because of that. So taking away that game also takes away the fraudulence that we see. Like, Joe, we started talking about, man, Ohio State can't move the ball on Indiana. They go up in the first round of the playoff, and they get beat again. I mean, I feel like the SEC championship game for a lot of these teams tells us when they go up against high-quality opponents who they really are.
How different is that than having the opening round matchup tell us the same information?
Because it's inside the conference. I mean, again, you're...
Does it need to be inside of the conference? Like, why does it need to be inside of the conference?
Then explain SMU-Clemson.
SMU goes and plays their first-round game, and they lose, and they get knocked out.
But we might have not put SMU in there. We definitely wouldn't have put Clemson in there. They're the champion of their own conference.
But
TCU and Kansas State a couple of years ago. Like, there are explain Alabama.
But this is the whole premise with all this stuff is that the championship game, I don't think really establishes a true champion for the conferences. I don't think that it does. I don't think historically
Indiana's not the champion of the Big Ten.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I think that they're obviously the teams that are winning the conferences are obviously the champions, but what the hell does it actually mean to have won your conference? It's far more value to be competing for a national championship.
I get that. I mean, listen now, my head baseball coach, the team that I cover, has never won the SEC a day in his life, but he's also won two national championships. If you would ask me which one would I rather, it would be that one. At the same time, I also want to win my conference. As a competitor, I want to win my conference.
When in the regular season, if we're working towards a playoff system where winning a regular or a conference tournament or conference championship it doesn't matter as much to do that.
You're convoluting it in the sense of that we would
have. If anything, I'm simplifying. I think of those systems you're not already is currently convoluted.
Now we're arguing.
Yes.
How do you explain Indiana and Ohio State, hypothetically speaking? If we just allow to say, okay, Ohio State, well, they win it, or Indiana, they win it. They didn't get played out on the game. They might not play.
Okay, that's obviously important because it helps establish another data point for the top teams. But the thing is, though, is then we don't have any matchups or opportunities for the teams that aren't in the conference championship games that are going on to the playoff that are likely probably more fraudulent than the teams that are playing in the conference championship games. So the biggest issue that comes from all of this is that you have the extra game that is allowed to be played in a playoff setting, but all the other teams get to sit at home and they get to buy themselves time and they also don't have to be challenged as hard. You know what I'm saying?
This is what I think. Can I tell you my conspiracy theory?
Okay.
My conspiracy theory is that you're a Notre Dame fan and you want that taken off the board so Notre Dame doesn't get popped.
No, I don't
have. I don't figure it out.
I don't. That is zero relation to conspiracy the discussion. We've had four teams. We have one. We've had one team that has made the Final Four in the last 2 years. That
we've only had it two years.
But I think that 1-for-8 is kind of telling.
Well, Notre Dame's not in a conference.
And okay, then 1-for-7. I already looked it up. I didn't write it down, but I already looked it up. It's 1-for-7.
Yeah, Miami. Well, not really 1-for-7.
What do you mean 1-for-7?
Well, a team that won it, there's been four teams. You'd be 1-for-4.
This year for four. No, but the last 2 years, there are four teams this year. Indiana won the Big Ten. Ole Miss did not win the SEC. Miami did not win the ACC.
Yeah, Oregon, but you're going the Final Four. We're talking about champions winning the national title.
I'm just talking about champions that have made it to the Final Four teams to like simplify the window. And if anything, I think that's a lot more telling the fact that you have so few teams that win their conferences that they can't even make it to the Final Four teams. The year prior was Ohio State, it was Notre Dame, it was Penn State, and it was Texas.
Mm-hmm.
None of those, you have one team that, or no team, that won their conference that year.
Yeah, but three of them were in a conference championship game.
I think arguably furthers my point even more because
you can't really
even Georgia. They were there and they didn't even win it.
Well, you can't really hit Georgia because their starting quarterback went out. There's got to be context.
I guess. I think that there is.
And one team's not even in a conference.
That's why I said 1-for-7.
Yeah, it's not 1-for-7.
Well, but wait, hold on. You're bringing it. It is 1-for-7. What do you mean?
Not 1-for-7.
There were eight teams that made the Final Four. Seven of them could have played in a conference championship game.
No.
One of the seven teams that could have made.
How many of them played in a conference championship?
One of the seven that won a conference championship.
How many of them played
made it? That's not the point of what I'm
making. No, it is the point.
But it's not related, though. They didn't win. That's the point. They advanced
it.
The teams that did not even win their conferences made it further than the teams that they lost to. That's how meaningless it is.
I just don't agree with you. As someone who wants to win the SEC every year and
you might want to win it, but it doesn't have the same importance.
I also don't want people deciding who is the champion of the conference. Oh, we're just going to concede that so we can expand the playoff. Why are you expanding it anyway?
We don't have the time to go down that rabbit hole.
Oh, well. Anyway. All right. I think they need to keep it and stop talking to me about time. Don't talk to me about time again. Yeah. Time is the problem here. All right. Let's move on to the last topic here. Joe Chandler Morris has been denied a 7-year of eligibility. Yay. Good. He deserves to not have a 7th year of eligibility. I do think that a lot of these conference commissioners coming out and saying that we need to change this eligibility rule has really hit this hard. And he does not deserve a 7-year of eligibility. He just doesn't deserve it. So your thoughts on Chandler Morris not receiving a 7th year?
Yeah, we already talked about this and why it made no sense for him to be given the 7th year. This is a kid who's played a crap load of football and he's made a good amount of money as a starting quarterback at a Power 4 program. He's had a great career. And again, he's played a ton of football. This isn't a guy who's played in like 5 games in his career, 10 games in his career. This is a player who has been around in multiple programs, was one of the few guys still sticking around that gotten a COVID eligibility waiver. It's 2026. That was in 2020. Chandler Morris needs to move on. Sadly, his career is over, but he's played so much football that it gets to a point where it's hard to defend. Like, my only takeaway from this is that we are at a point now where the NCAA is starting to win these cases. And as much as we are critical of the NCAA for their operations for a lot of things, I think that for the eligibility sake, for protecting the sanctity of what college athletics is supposed to be, which is, as I said at the beginning of the show, opportunities for 18 and 19 year old kids, that now that they're getting chances to win more in court. And I think that the more that they win in court, the more that they're going to have weight to push away players that are trying to abuse the system. Mm-hmm. I think that we just need to find better ways to work around biased judges. And it feels as though that we are on better footing and better direction to finding a way to solve that issue. I don't know how mm-hmm. we end up doing that, but this is a step in that right direction.
Did you see the post by my buddy Stan this week or last week? The judge in Trinidad Chambliss's case was in the Grove with his entire family wearing Ole Miss gear, and he was the judge of the Trinidad Chambliss case.
I did not see this. I did not see this.
Stan the Man, I think it's Stan the Man 31. It's on his social media account. There's your evidence. There is your evidence. I am, to your point, I am glad that these things are being denied. The truth of the matter is that he needs to be selling State Farm insurance.
I mean, become a coach like his dad, like go join the Clemson staff, man.
But it just gets to a point where this is getting exhausted. And I do think that we are getting to a place where kids might be a little bit more gunshot now. Joe, let me tell you, you know, judges, when you get arrested, as an example, have certain days of when you, like if you got arrested today, this judge is over your case on your specific court date. Okay. I think teams have gotten wise to this. Actually, I know that they're doing this. They're waiting for when they file suit to get specific judges, the ones that are winning, to get specific judges on the day, and they find it out, whatever. I'm glad that some of them aren't smart enough to understand this, and some of this from Greg Sankey and others are coming down and denying this. But it also goes to show you that this kid did not have a case, because a lot of these have been in situations where they're providing stuff and they're getting it through. How did Joey Aguilar and Chandler Morris try to provide medical records and got denied, and Trinidad Chambliss didn't? So I just think it's great for the sport that you're not prolonging these eligibility cases. And yeah, it does give better opportunities for those coming out of high school to get those opportunities.
Yeah, that's the simplest way to put this, is that the more times that the NCAA wins, and that, because there was just such a stretch where it felt inevitable that if you sued that you would win. And I think that now there is a little bit better direction of establishing the NCAA does have power. They do have the ability to win these circumstances. I think that the next one that we're going to see is the Owen Heineke one. And if that ends up being decided in a court that the NCAA has the right to restrict Owen Heineke coming back and playing, then it'll be a lot harder to argue that you can just go ahead and sue. I think that the biggest part with this, Blake, is that...
And that was my point about Heineke.
They need to be deterred. They need to be deterred. That's the biggest part with this, is that considering it, you need to look and go, this is going to be a waste of time and money. I'm not going to waste my time doing this.
Well, and that was my point on Heineke. As much as I might have agreed with your point in reference to him potentially needing another year, I hate that he would have to be the one that you have to put the foot down for.
Yeah.
But so... understand the, but that was my whole point. Look at the premise now. The premise is that now if I do this, there's a strong likelihood I might not win it. And so I hate it happens for a guy like Owen Heineke, but it also is going to deter some of these kids of doing it, because why would I do it? And I hope for Heineke's case, and I think that they've just completely mismanaged this whole thing. I just hope for his case that he gets a judgment before the draft, which, by the way, is in what, 20 days?
Yeah. Yeah. And he'll still get drafted, because there's not a very good, the linebacker class kind of thins out towards the back end. But yeah, I think that.
So what happens if he gets drafted and then he has the case to come back? I mean, you could Bo Jackson this thing.
That I have zero idea.
Well, I get Bo Jackson it. But he doesn't.
What Bo Jackson did, though, was that he got. Yeah.
So
yeah,
It is what it is there. All right. Any super chats? We have one. Shaquan with a $5 super chat says, can't wait for the LSU deep dive. Spring ball buzz, even though they hate when Blake talks about LSU. Also, great win this weekend against Tennessee. Yeah, we kind of don't, unless we but first off, we've said this 1,000 times. I don't make the topics.
I do. So what I deliberately did with the LSU stuff is that if we talked about something LSU related, I tried not to put it on the docket for the next show. So that's part of the reason why I think we'll get to it on Wednesday. Yeah. Cause spring ball for LSU has been going for a bit now. We also kind of talked about it, some stuff anyways. So
yeah. Well, yeah, and we'll have a whole other show that you could go to too. And so that's just like,
maybe everyone wants to hear my thoughts.
Well, I'm just here and let you go. I mean, you want the LSU deed? I mean, we don't really have to do one. Go to AYS, listen to it.
Yeah. We probably do it on Wednesday.
Yeah. We might.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see y'all soon. Y'all have a good day. Peace.